Hugh Hefner, a true American icon, created an empire that was unrivaled.
Although some of us bunnies may have gone rogue, it's because of the love and respect that we received from the man behind it all.
Because after all, we did learn from the best.
Relive the stories from the most prominent celebrity home in history.
What happens in the grotto stays in the grotto.
From those of us that lived it,
the employees that worked it,
and the guests who loved it.
And
the mayhem continues.
We are Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. Audra, thank you so much for sticking around with us. I know part one, you know, we got into some serious topics, but, you know, still segueing off of what we were talking about and the trafficking, you know, there's all these bullshit rumors about the tunnels. We were talking about that off camera, right?
Right. So, you know, working in the field that I do, I always get questions about the Playboy Mansion because everybody assumes that Hef was a trafficker and was part of this whole entire organization. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. And I know people keep bringing up the tunnels, and it's like Hef didn't build that mansion. The Letts family built
correct,
that mansion.
Correct.
To the people that understand the things that I understand with this deep, dark world that we live in, the Letts family was into the Bohemian Grove. So if those tunnels were ever used in that, it wasn't by Hef. That family that lived there before may have been into some of that stuff with the organizations that they're involved in.
You know, you bring up some of the stuff that I think people need to go on a deep dive on their own. Go down that rabbit hole. It'll freak you out. And people go, oh, yeah. There you go with that conspiracy shit. You know, I'm so sick of this fucking term. Conspiracy theorist, right? How about, look, something doesn't add up and I'm going to go fucking research and figure it out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's that term? Someone said, you know, what's the difference between conspiracy theory and fact? It's about 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, so,
but just to make sure, there are no tunnels.
No, but okay,
you would
the tunnels,
know.
Let's clarify some
because you've been in every inch of the mansion.
100%. There are no fucking tunnels. I can tell you that for a fact.
But they don't lead to other people's houses.
There's no downstairs.
The basement.
Was a basement, okay? And it was dug open to make cabinets. There were tons of cabinets. Hef's personal items. Yes, the lockers for the butlers.
Right.
We had freaking cabinets that are sundry cabinets for all of like band-aids and
tampons.
Tampons, which is funny.
Yeah, why would you need to run out to get some tampons?
I bought that shit. Okay. I would go to the store.
Maybe she needed Super Plus.
Boxes of tampons. No, we had every kind. We're actually doing a show on tampons. This is hilarious. But okay, there was cabinets down there for like all like the serving stuff, like coffee cups and Hef's milk glasses. And
it was spooky.
And then there was the movie vaults. You know, you had the rooms that had like all the old movie equipment, like say projector equipment, pieces that like, hey, this broke, so you got to change it out. You know, it's like today, if you have an old car, you can't just go find a part readily and easily. So anytime something was outdated or whatever, they would put all this stuff downstairs. And I've been in that room. It's freaking awesome. There's all this equipment in there. But yeah, I'm like, why do you keep this stuff? You never know when you need a part. You got to fix this, fix that. So that's what it was.
Right.
It didn't go anywhere.
Right.
I mean, Bridget, matter of fact.
That rumor got started because Playboy, a long time ago in an April Fool's issue, they made a map to where it looks like the blueprints have all these tunnels off of those areas that we were just talking about.
That's
right. And that they went to all these different celebrities' houses and stuff. And that's not true at all. I mean, I've been.
So it was an April Fool's.
Yeah, but see, that's how, like, just like when people claim someone died, you know, you've seen those, right? And they'll put those little things out, and all of a sudden, oh my God, did you hear so-and-so go? What are you talking about? He's alive.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's unfortunate people take some things and they want to run with it. So that's where I always say, if you do hear something, go deep dive and really try to find out facts. But for those that don't know, there was no tunnels to the fucking Getty. There were no tunnels leading up to Jack Nicholson's house.
There was no tunnels next door.
Right? There were no tunnels to Jimmy Kahn's house. I mean, I was just mentioning, like, Bridget had reached out one time, right? And said, Brian, remember that time I'm trying to talk about the basement? And I go, yeah, you and I walked through it all. She wanted to know, where does everything go? It's like maintenance areas.
I think Holly would have had it on the Playboy Murders show if there was tunnels.
Into nowhere. And gee, there's a bunch of like, you know, plumber's parts and shit like that. There's the laundry room. So I don't know. Yeah, that's bullshit.
Right.
And then and people go, oh, yeah, but look, they're tearing up the grounds right now. They're ruining all the tunnels. No, dumb nuts. A fucking guy freaking bought the place, right?
He's probably putting tunnels in now.
Yeah, and he's building, he's trying to make the place like modern. There's going to be like movie rooms or freaking a club and all this kind of other shit that's going to be there, but it has nothing to do with destroying tunnels. It's BS.
So sad.
It's gone. Even if we had enough money to buy the mansion now, it wouldn't be the same place.
You know what? The pictures are horrible. It sucks. It wouldn't be the same without Hef there anyway. It would just feel weird to not be there with him on the property.
Can you imagine if the mansion was still there? I mean, would they have like a movie night and without the boss? I mean, everyone would be just like standing around, like feeling uncomfortable.
I think everyone would still come to that. I really think they would.
I think the only way to keep that magic would have been if Cooper had
That would have been cool.
Decided to kind of, you know, it's not his house. It was Playboy's house. So that would have never happened. But if that would have happened, I think that would have been a very smooth. I had always hoped he would take it over. And I had interviewed him at 9 years old, my little recorder. And he said he was going to take Playboy out of the gutter.
Yeah, but you know, he got married and he has a beautiful family. And I respect the fact that, you know, he's living his own life. You know, so that's cool. Yes, the house was purchased and it's totally being remodeled. If you want to go see the pictures, you guys go see them. I don't like looking at them. It kind of, it really breaks my heart. But when you think back, Audra, you know, those days are gone. Tell us some fun stuff up there. You got to do a lot.
Yeah, Audra, you got to do so many cool things. Did you live, you lived in the guest house or in the Playmate house, or you lived up there for a little while?
So initially I lived in the Playmate house and I ended up living there because I was going to be Miss September. And so I was shooting and then Hef's like, no, I want you for the cover of October. And I was told that I had the cover and everything. And then it switched to Lauryn Hill, which, I mean, she's absolutely stunning and amazing and a dear friend of mine. And so I love her and rooted for her. And that was awesome. But I'm not sure what happened with that whole deal because I saw what my cover was going to look like. And it was so cool and everything. But
what was it going to look like? Oh, come on.
So I had this cute little jersey outfit on and my thumb here and a football here. And it just, it was really cool. And I think I have Polaroids somewhere.
College issue,
October. Yeah. And so I ended up getting to stay at the guest house longer because I had changed months. After October came around, I was doing promotions and stuff. And Hef said, why don't you just keep staying in the guest house and, you know, save up and move here full time. You've got so much potential in this industry, you know, you should stay. And so I stayed for a few months. And then a good friend of mine who's a psychiatrist, she said, I've got an open room, and I ended up moving in with her. Well, during that time, I ended up getting into a bad situation with a whole bunch of horrible people involved in Hollywood. And I think all of us Playmates kind of have their own story of horror out there in LA. But Hef ended up coming to he was like a savior. He let me move back into the mansion and I moved into the actual house that time because I had a German Shepherd. He had the Playmate house that was across the street, but he didn't want me there because they didn't have the liability and insurance like they did at the mansion. So I actually got to move into bedroom 4.
Because of the dog?
And with the dog. And it was an amazing, amazing time. It felt so safe.
When you were staying in the guest house, which room were you staying in?
I had the big, like, master one that was in there. What was that for?
That had, like, the dolls on the...
That was the Marilyn Monroe one, wasn't that?
Well, I think when you came along, it had been...
Holly had, like, remodeled it or something.
Remodeled, because I was helping.
Because when I stayed there, it was not remodeled.
So we had Allison Waite on not too long ago, and she said that she sensed some, like, haunting things happening in the guest house. Did you ever have an experience like that or anything that creeped you out?
Yeah, there's all kinds of activity there.
So, and I stayed there for a week.
So it wasn't at the guest house, but it was inside the mansion itself. And so bedroom 4 shared a bathroom with bedroom 5. And, you know, Stacy would come up on the weekends still, right? And so I was sleeping one night and it was around 3 o'clock in the morning.
Of course.
And all of a sudden I hear a blow dryer and I'm like, what is Stacy doing? Maybe she has like an early job or something. And I wasn't really thinking that it was a weekday and she only comes on the weekends. So I kind of drift back to sleep and about an hour later I wake up, the blow dryer is still going on. So odd. I knock on the door, nobody answers. I open the door and the blow dryer was sitting on the sink, just running. But what was really creepy about it is when I touched the blow dryer to turn it off, it was ice cold.
What?
Ice cold.
Okay, yeah. That's freaky.
I would have taken a that's pillow freaky. And a blanket and I would have been sleeping on the dining room table, like as far away. Like, get me out of there.
Yeah. And my German Shepherd, there used to be like waves of like cold that would kind of come through my room. And my German Shepherd would sit straight up and he'd start looking around the room like he could see something. Man. So those are my two big experiences there. But you know, Miss Lutz, she didn't she fall to her death?
Allegedly.
Miss Lutz supposedly was found on the Great Hall floor.
Yeah.
Did she jump? Was she pushed?
You might not die from that fall. I mean,
it's never been said. I mean, no, the fall would, yeah, but did she jump or was she pushed? I mean, we don't know the background on that. That was so long ago. That's the rumor of where you hear the hauntings up there in the mansion and supposedly Mrs. Letts walking around. I've heard a lot of girls. I think it was Renee. I think Renee was staying in bedroom 5, I think. I'm trying to remember. It's so hard. So many girls come through and hearing like footsteps, thinking people are messing with you. She would think that like someone's outside. They call down to the butlers and I'd get the butlers telling me like the graveyard shift going, Brian, the girls are calling down saying that someone's messing around upstairs and like walking up and down the hall. And I go, but I go up there. There's nobody there. It's like everyone's dead asleep. So
that freaks me out so bad. Yeah. I can't.
Right? Why didn't we ever have I know why we didn't have a seance.
Yeah, they actually did.
Because Hef doesn't
Bridget
like all that.
Holly, Hef actually let one happen with Bridget and Holly for the TV show, which is disappointing because that only brings, I'm big on spiritual warfare. So like, I know what that brings
I'd
about.
Be crying so hard.
My oil, my cross. Yeah.
I remember when they brought in the seance lady and that kind of creeped me out. That was weird. I don't like messing around with that kind of stuff. I'm the guy that literally walked out of the room back when I was in high school where a bunch of friends were playing with a Ouija board. And I'm like, okay, my mom always said, never mess with that shit. Later, guys, I'm the hell out of the room. I'm not messing around with that crap. You know, but yeah, I remember they brought in that seance lady. That had a weird vibe. They did it for one of the girls.
It's so sad that they've made it so like mainstream and so cool. And if people really understood the spiritual side, because there is a spiritual side to this world, that they wouldn't be doing what they're doing, I don't think.
They should have brought Char in. She's incredible. Char, she's like clairvoyant and this and that. And she's very, very famous and she's incredible. And she talks to the people from the other side.
Don't do
ask
it.
That, man. Yeah. Don't mess with that. You and I have had some really deep combos. I sat one time, literally, I was at a laundromat and I sat in my car and it was just me and Audra talking for like an hour and a half of deep dive into the spiritual shit. It's crazy. Let's go there. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Rogue Bunnies Mayhem.
The Rogue Bunnies have had some pretty epic in real life events that I'm sure you've all heard about. Wondering how you can be included in our next one? Become a VIP NFT holder. The main benefit of being a VIP is access to our events, and lucky for you, there are multiple ways to become one. Purchase a stunning Rogue Bunnies Founder Drop Ordinal, minting now at ordinals.roguebunnies.com. Or own a legendary or epic trading card. Buy one right off of our marketplace or try your luck with a Series 1 trading card pack. Once you own one of these, get verified in our Discord and claim your status. The VIP perks don't end at in-real-life events. You'll also have priority access to future drops, gated chat channels with the Rogue Bunnies, VIP-only online events, and more. Want more details? Visit roguebunnies.com. Then follow the bunny mask and get ready to go rogue.
Welcome to the metaverse!
Right before the break, we were just talking about spiritual warfare. What is spiritual warfare?
Yeah,
how would you describe
that
for those listening, Audra?
What does that mean?
Okay, well, so my view on spiritual warfare is that there's good and evil.
Sure.
So if you look at the world as kind of like a video game of good and evil, the good, the more good that you do and the closer that you get to God, the more protection that he ends up giving you to protect yourself from the evil. There are people that want to do evil things against the good, and they dive down into this deep rabbit hole of the type of stuff that I try to fight against with the human trafficking, and human trafficking usually goes into SRA, and that's a whole another episode to go into. But the more evil that they do, the darker powers that they're given. And so there's a huge battle between the good and the evil that way. The greatest lie that the devil ever said was that he didn't exist, and he does exist, and he's literally everywhere around us. There's all the different demonic entities. And so like when you go and you see one of those clairvoyants that can talk to your dead relative and everything like that, are they really speaking to your dead relative, or are they speaking to the demon that was hanging around them their entire life and trying to oppress and possess them?
That's why my mom always used to say, don't mess with it. You don't know what you're really messing with or who you're really talking to. Yeah, I know. You know, I know, Victoria, you said you don't believe in any.
I don't believe in ghosts. I believe in spirituality. I believe in spirits. This woman, Char, I had a reading with her. She touched on some things that there's just no way for her to know any of these things. So that was a little, but it wasn't anything like so-and-so said this and that. It's just this person's here. This person's around you. But it didn't go into like, oh, well, look in the left drawer. There's a letter in there that I left you. You know, there wasn't anything like that.
Right.
But
it is weird, though, because once you start getting more into like this, since we've become friends, like we chat on Facebook on the side about spirituality and stuff. And you post a lot about God. And I'm finding myself needing to fill that void in myself a little bit more. So I wanted nothing more than a reading from Tyler Henry, because I just thought he was the cutest thing. He does all these like Hollywood celebrities, and like he was like spot on with so many people. And all of a sudden, like years gone by, and now I'm more into this do the right thing. I want to go to heaven, like trying to teach my kids, like this video game is all about the devil. Like, can you just play Mario or something? Like, does it have to be like this evil stuff?
Yeah, it has to be Grand Theft Auto.
I get emails all the time now. It's Tyler Henry, like free reading tonight. Like it's a group reading. And I just delete the email.
Good
for you. Zero desire.
Why?
I'm just like, because nothing that he's going to tell me is going to change my today or anything in the future.
Sure.
If anything, it's going to put ideas in my head that are going to make me not be in the moment, and not just whatever's going to happen is because it's what's supposed to happen. And you deal with it and you lean into your faith and everything like that. And that's like opened me up. So I can get through things now because I know that I don't need external things to help me.
Oh,
I just pray about it.
Yeah. And like, and the dead is dead. And so you're actually talking to, there are such things as familiar spirits. And so that's what you're talking to. And they can seem good and wonderful and give you all kinds of great information, but that's part of the deception, you know? And so I try not to open doors like that, especially with the work that I do, because I'm really big with SRA, and SRA is satanic ritual abuse, and it does happen, and it happens a lot. The statistics on that is they're saying between 2-10% of America, these children are going through satanic ritual abuse, and they're using the devil and horrific rituals and torture to these children to fractionate their mind. And so when a child's mind is fractured, they become like multiple personality, which is now called DID. And so it's like a tree with all these different branches. And it's so incredibly hard to integrate those people back into one whole person. And there's a whole demonic component around it. And so I know that I have covens that are doing spiritual warfare against me and putting hexes and curses and all that. And so my way to protect myself is just not to open those doors. I'm not one that's big on even listening to regular music, because you're chanting words that, unless you know what they are, you're putting curses in your own life.
And going to the concerts and the visuals and things like that they show to masses of crowds.
Oh, it's full on like evil shit, like out there.
Really learn symbolism. Symbolism is so important, because the devil didn't speak so much in words as he did in symbols. So if you go back to like Genesis 6, where the fallen angels fell onto the earth and they found human women to be beautiful. And so they took them as wives and they ended up having Nephilim children with them. And then, you know, back with the Tower of Babel, God made it to where nobody understood each other's languages and stuff like that. What they did then is they went to symbols. And so then they continued to do the child sacrifices and all the satanic worship. And they just did it through symbols, just like Underground Railroad back in the day with the slaves and stuff. They knew what buildings, and it's the same thing today. They know what buildings that they can go to that have the underground tunnels, that have these different safety nets for somebody that needs to get out of getting out of jail or this or that or whatever. They know that they have these safe places that they can go and hide, and it's all through symbolism.
Wow.
Is that insane? It's like hiding in plain sight. Like it's all around us.
See, oh, yeah.
It's everywhere. You know,
if people crazy. Ask me like what you should play with or not, I think that if you really want to know truth, honestly, just like put it out there. Say, God, show me. Right. I'm not going to sit here and preach at you. I can tell you stuff after the fact. Let's have some good deep combos. But I want each person to figure it out on their own. Absolutely. This is something I always say to someone. I go, if you're playing with something and it's all about self and it's all about you, and you find that it actually attracts you to not give a shit about other people, then I don't know if I'd be messing with that. If you're on a path and you're seeing that all of a sudden you're having compassion, you're actually having love for mankind, you're actually, you know, wanting to know more about God, you're finding a lighter path, then that's where I would keep going. You know, I mean, I could go right straight out because I am a Christian, right? I could go in that deep dive, but I want each person figure out for yourself, ask yourself, what are you figuring out? Are you coming towards something that's making you a better person and wanting to help other people? Or are you going down a path that says, oh no, it's all about me. I'm going to get all the riches in the world. It's all about selfish shit. And I can screw these purposes and over here, screw that person over here. I don't care about how I use this person. I don't know if I'd be messing with that side.
Right. Well, so, you know, like God and Jesus, all they are about is love. And so, you know, they don't ask anything of you except for your love and your commitment to them. Right. You look at the evil side and yes, it's very real. You can get, you know, wealth and fame and fortune, and everything that you ever wanted through the dark side too. Right.
Right.
But
that's what I was hitting.
The problem is that when you go down the dark side, they always ask for something. And so they take and they take and they take, and you see so many wealthy people and celebrities that have so much going for themselves in their life. And you're like, how can they be depressed? And how can they be suicidal? And I don't understand. It's because the devil is continually taking at every step that they reach. He's taking from them. Same with like opening the doors. I know when I open a door, because bad things will start happening in my life and the blessings will stop. And so I try to not open those doors to where I am continually blessed with really good things and a wonderful life.
Audra, we could talk to you forever. I swear.
Forever. I mean, I
would go on and like I talked about it. I mean, I was sitting in a freaking parking lot for like an hour and a half with you on the phone. It's so much fun. We got to have you back. Hopefully the next show we'll actually talk about some fun stories at the mansion.
Sorry, I was doom and gloom, but you know what? Maybe this will change somebody's life. And
oh no, it's all stuff that people need to hear.
You know, I really hope that if somebody out there is struggling and has gone through stuff, I hate to say it, but like even the perpetrators, they went through this as children, and my heart is open to them. And I feel bad for them as well, because they were abused the same way as these other survivors that come to me. They just chose a path to perpetrate instead of be a victim. There's a lot of them that are stuck in this, that don't want to be stuck in this, and they want to get help as well. And I am open to anybody and everybody that wants help and needs help. I want them to contact me, find me on Facebook with God Wins Today.
Can you remind everyone of the phone numbers that they can call as well if they're in trouble? Yeah. Or
833-599-FREE.
Look at you.
There you go.
Rescue America. That's if you need to escape your situation and get out of trafficking right away. And it's kind of like an emergency hotline for that. And then there's the National Human Trafficking Hotline, and that's 888-373-7888.
Audra, thank you so much. How does everybody follow you?
You can follow me with Godwins Today, or on my Instagram is open at SRT Playmate.
Thank you. I'm Brian Alea.
I'm Victoria Fuller.
Jennifer Pershing.
And
The Mayhem Continues.
Hey, Mayhem Familia, don't forget to click, like, and subscribe, and tell all your friends.
Also, visit us at rbmayhemshow.com. That's rbmayhemshow.com.
And I want to give a special thanks to Dapper Labs, Flow, Gig Labs, and also Flowscore. And
The Mayhem Continues!